أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون. ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر وأولئك هم المفلحون. ولا تكونوا كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا من بعد ما جاءهم البينات وأولئك لهم عذاب عظيم. يوم تبيض وجوه وتسود وجوه فأما الذين اسودت وجوههم أكفرتم بعد إيمانكم فذوقوا العذاب بما كنتم تكفرون. وأما الذين ابيضت وجوههم ففي رحمة الله هم فيها خالدون. تلك آيات الله نتلوها عليك بالحق وما الله يريد ظلما للعالمين. ولله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإلى الله ترجع الأمور. صدق الله العظيم.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers, mothers, sisters, beloved youth, the esteemed listeners of Radio Al-Ansar, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, tonight's program, we will divide it into three parts. The first part will be, mashallah, tonight is Laylatul Jumu'ah. What is expected of us on Laylatul Jumu'ah, Yawm al-Jumu'ah, on a Friday? Then we are in the month of Shawwal. What does Islam tell us regarding this month of Shawwal? And then regarding our trip to South America, inshallah, we will highlight to you what is happening there in seven countries, inshallah. When one studies the books of history, then we find prior to the advent of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this day of Jumu'ah was called Yawm al-Aruba. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sahaba, then Almighty Allah changed his name and Yawm al-Jumu'ah. And you see in the Quran Sharif, Surah 62 enshrined and titled as Suratul Jumu'ah. Why Jumu'ah? Because everybody gathers on that day. It is the greatest assembly of the week. So that is what Islam has done. That we brought people together. We see in Hajj, the greatest assembly of humanity annually. On the 9th of Zil Hijjah, we may in Maidan Arafat, in the plains of Arafat. So that is the first aspect. Second, what is expected of us? We all want light, we want radiance, we don't want load shedding, we don't want that we must be groping in the darkness. Mustafa Habib Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's authentic hadith mentioned in Sunan Nasai, Man qara'a surat al-kahf yawm al-jumu'ah, adaa lahu min al-nur ma bayn al-jumu'atayn. You, my sisters, so much makeup, so much mascara. Read Surah Kahf on a Friday. Almighty Allah will give you nur, radiance, effulgence from one Friday to the next Friday. That is the promise of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This in the world, in the qabr, every way, inshallah. Second one, we should try and read Surah Dukhan. Why we should read Surah Dukhan? Surah 44. It's just four pages. Just now, 6:05 or so, we started the program on Voice of the Cape just till 7 o'clock. So we just finished there and came here, mashallah. We have Q&A Thursday nights. Mashallah is going on for 12, 13 years with Allah's help, alhamdulillah. So one sister asked the question, you know, Cape Town, they don't ask questions like us. They eat all straight questions, you know. Allah prat Afrikaans da, you know. Mashallah, you don't understand Afrikaans here in Durban so well. So, say, Mufti, what can anda and Jannah, what's going on there in Jannah? These men, they just say they can get married to anybody and that is right, all these kind of things. So I said, sister, leave the men, what they're saying, let's see what Allah says. Allah says in Surah 44, Surah Dukhan, verse 54, in this world, me and you, ordinary people, we perform the nikah. They, Allah says, He will perform the nikah. وَزَوَّجَنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ. Almighty Allah says, we will perform the nikah of the people of Jannah with the beautiful damsels and women of Jannah. Now you worried, sister, but now what about the jealousy and that? You know, nowadays, if a person has 2-3 wives, what happens? That everybody is a politician there. There's so many stories, but now it's not our topic that. Anyway, so there in Jannah, Quran says, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي سُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلِّنْ. Almighty Allah removes all the envy, jealousy, hatred, all malice and so forth. So there will be no arguments there. So brothers, we should try and read Surah Dukhan, Surah 44, Mustafa Habisu Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith mentioned in Tabarani, Man qara Surah Hamim al-Dukhan Laylatul Jumu'ah, Yawm al-Jumu'ah aw Laylataha, banallahu lahu biha baytan fil Jannah. Allah will bless that person with a palace in Jannah. We all want big, big palatial home. It's temporary. Read that, inshallah, Allah will give us the best of the best in Jannah. Third one, أَكْثِرُوا عَلَيَّ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ The best gift for the best of Allah's creation on the best day of the week. What can we do? Send salawat, durood sharif upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best gift for the best of Allah's creation on the best day of the week. So whether we are in the kitchen, whether in the shop, whether in the job, whether we're driving, keep the tongue moist with durood. and salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is excellent. The Master alayhi salam is commanding us that increase the quantity of durood and salawat upon me on a Friday. Their death is inevitable. We have to leave this world. Hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من توفاه الله يوم الجمعة أو ليلتها وقاه الله من فتنة القبر. Whosoever Almighty Allah gave death on a Friday with Iman, so tonight, tomorrow, before Maghrib time, before Maghrib, so in a case like that, Allah will protect the person from the torment of the grave. If you look at our ulama, so many great, great ulama. Hazrat Ji, some of you met him. Hazrat Mohana Masihullah Khan Sahib Jalal Abadi Rahimahullah used to cry to Allah, and Allah gave him death on Friday. Hazrat Alimiyah, Hazrat Mohana Abul Hasan Nadwi Rahimahullah. Friday, Ramadan, he read Surah Yasin 14 times and then he met Almighty Allah. To who this happens? Allahumma jal khayra ayyamina yawman alqaka fi. Ya Allah, make that the best day in our life, the day we come to meet you, Ya Allah. That you call a jackpot. When you have Friday and Ramadan, what bigger than that can you get? So brothers, we should try and beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, that Ya Allah, give us death with Iman on a Friday. That is the way Islam teaches us. Today's world, they come and tell us one day is dedicated Father's Day, Mother's Day, and this day and that day. You must remember, Islam taught us our parents are so special, they have hukuk and rights over us even after death. My father passed away in 1982 in Ramadan, mother passed away in 97. So whenever I can, they both buried there in Heidelberg, there in Gauteng, Transvaal. So if you can, obviously we can't manage every Friday, but sometimes at least, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith, Man zara qabra abawayhi aw ahadihima yawm al-jumu'ah, whosoever visits the grave of both his parents or one of them on a Friday, ghufira lahu, then he'll be forgiven, wa kutiba barra, and considered as a pious son of his parents. Imagine. The hadith in Bayhaqi, so in Mishkat Sharif also. So brothers, this is Islam. Make baf, I'm just coughing from South America, it's still carrying on. Make dua, it'll come right inshallah. So brothers, this is what we're supposed to do. Then Friday is a special day. Allah se mangna hai, Allah se manwana hai. Between Asr and Maghrib, Isai, Mustajaba, is time duas are accepted. You see what is happening in the world today, brothers. Today when we climbed in the plane, so I love to read, you know. Today in Joburg Airport is Barkati Airport, they give you all, you know. So I read The Citizen, I read The Star, I read The New Age. And then I read the Afrikaans newspaper, Bild. You know, I don't think you all read Afrikaans too much. So anyway, I read the Afrikaans newspaper. I like it, you know. So they give you a lot of Afrikaner news and so forth. What doen die boere, you understood? What the farmers are doing, you know. So they had a small article there. This is what I want to mention to you. This doesn't hit the headlines. In Burma, in Myanmar, a mob came and they killed a Muslim. And they asked him why. He said, no, he's a Muslim, so we killed him. Look at the injustice. Look at the oppression, the transgression against Muslims. You saw what happened in India. So brothers, you must remember the Muslims are the oppressed people of the world. When we live in comfort zone, we can't be forgetting our oppressed brothers and sisters and children in different parts of the world. So at least raise your hand on tonight, tomorrow, tahajjud time, tomorrow between Asr and Maghrib, and make dua for the ummah. So at least we do that, Allah will keep us safe also, inshallah. Second, now brothers, we are in the month of Shawwal. Be honest about it, we just finished Ramadan. My neighbor here next door is a non-Muslim, for example. He comes, he says, what's the meaning of Ramadan? How many of us know that? So Ramadan means tahriku zunub, to incinerate and burn our sins. So then maybe the Mawlana told us, if he asked us what is the meaning of Shawwal, then what will we say? So Shawwal means the month of hunting. The people used to go and do hunting a lot that month. Why? Because the next 3 months, Quran Kareem makes reference to it, minha arba'atun hurum. So the 4 months of the 12 lunar months, 4 months are sacred. In Bukhari Sharif is mentioned, thalathun mutawaliyat, 3 are consecutive months, Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, and Muharram, and then the month of Rajab. So in the pre-Islamic days also, they knew these were sacred months. So therefore, before the sacred month start, now there'll be no hunting, there'll be no warfare, anything of that sort. So let us do our hunting and all external activities now. So that is why this month was called Shawwal. Regarding Shawwal, there are 3-4 issues we need to clarify. It is the best month of the Islamic calendar to get married in. The hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. Our mother Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha states, Inna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tazawwaja bi fi Shawwal. The master Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married me in Shawwal. Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha states. She had no children, but her nephews, nieces, family members, she would encourage them, come, get married in Shawwal. So I'm not saying you brothers must take second wife and third wife now and all these type of things. But your youngsters who don't have any wives, get them married. So what you want to procrastinate and delay and all these things? So get them quickly married, inshallah. Second one, mashallah, brothers, sisters have made intention for Hajj. Al-Hajju ashhurum ma'lumat. Min Eidin ila Eidin. From 1st of Shawwal, Eidul Fitr, to 10th of Zilhijjah, Eid al-Adha, those are the months of Hajj. You fasten the haram now for Hajj, totally permissible. So remember that these are the months of Hajj already. So we should be reading Surah 2, verse 128, abundantly, and inshallah, Almighty Allah will take us for Hajj. Allah makes the means and the asbab. 3-4 months ago, I went to 6 countries in Europe. I don't know if I mentioned it to you, but nevertheless. My first stop was in Italy, Venice. From South Africa, we landed up there. There is a brother from Ghana, an African brother. Brother Abdullah, he's there 31 years in Venice, in Italy. So when he met me, he just hugged me and he was like half crying and he's whispering in my ear, "Wa arina manasikana wa tub alayna, innaka anta tawwabur rahim." We used to communicate via email. So I asked him, why you read that verse in my ear? He said, I must tell you the story. He said, one day, I'm not here to promote the radio or something. So one day by mistake, he just was playing and he heard channel. So I was mentioning the dua. You want to go for Hajj, you want to go for Umrah, read Surah 2 verse 128. So he started reading it, he memorized it. This was in 2005. 2006, the agent from Milan or Rome or somewhere phoned him, Abdullah, you want to go for Hajj? He said, of course I want to go for Hajj, but, you know the but, always. The money is a problem. He said, but I didn't ask you for money. I am telling you, get ready, I am taking you. Subhanallah, we have to go to the agent. Here the agent came to Abdullah and took him away. He says, therefore I can't forget you. So subhanallah, this is how when a person cries, begs Almighty Allah, Allah makes the means. See, we must have that yaqeen. So these are the months of Hajj. Don't ever say, no, me, I won't make it, does that. Why are you so negative? If Allah wants us there, we'll be there, inshallah. Remember that. Be positive always. And then, you know, the 6 fasts of Shawwal, mashallah, Allah give us tawfiq. Those of us who have qada of Ramadan, so first make sure that we keep the qada fast first, and then we keep the 6 fasts of Shawwal.
But you know, our brothers, sisters, they love short-circuiting. They say, no, I keep tomorrow fast and I make intention for Shawwal and Qadha. I kill two birds with one stone. This is not permissible according to majority scholars. So keep separately, first the Qadha, and then you keep the six Shawwal fast. MashaAllah, I see many brothers here. I think you came to listen to what's happening in South America. Alhamdulillah, this was my third trip to South America. This year, on the 11th of Ramadan, I left South Africa with my wife. You know my story, no wife, no life story. So, Alhamdulillah, we left South Africa and then we stopped in Sao Paulo. South African Airways. This is something I don't know. We don't understand these things. When we went from South Africa to Sao Paulo, it took us about 10 hours, 20 minutes or so. On the way back, same thing, same plane. Same plane meaning that maybe, you know, a little bit different, but whatever it is, same South African Airways. And less than 8 hours we were here, we landed in OR Tambo Airport, Johannesburg. So I asked the one guy, what's up? So he said, no, we are coming downhill. You understand? So you must remember. More than 2 hours, we save time. You understood? So we don't understand this thing. We say, Alhamdulillah, we reach safely. See, brothers, lesson number one. We in transit there in Brazil. Next stop, A for Argentina, B for Brazil, C for Colombia. These are the three countries I visited this time. The other countries, I will tell you about them. So from there, we had a connecting flight to Bogota, that's the capital of Colombia. So, Avianca Airline. So we all sitting and the plane took off. Now when you travel, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentioned one dua. All of you should learn it. Maulana and the Mayyab, senior ulama, so many hafiz you got. Just ask them, they'll show you. When you start your travel, your journey, read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Read Bismillah majreha wa mursaha. Ya Allah, you take us, whether we are on the move or whether we are stationary. And then you read the third verse, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهِ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مَا يُشْرِكُونَ. I just read that verse. The plane was on the tarmac, but full speed it was going. And suddenly the pilot just braked. We knew that something not right, it wouldn't. The people, cell phones, all flying in different directions. They announce something in Spanish, now what we understand and all that, you know, or in Portuguese. So, anyway, then they took a long U-turn, they came back, they kept us in the plane for about 40, 45 minutes, and they said we have to disembark. Technical problem. Now imagine if that should happen on top. We should be history. You know? So this is Allah. Always when you travel, give us some sadaqah, make read the du'as, only Allah protects us. You know, in my travels, last year, 2 years ago, I was in the Caribbean, West Indies. We were flying from Guyana to Trinidad or something. So they told me, there's a plane, go inside, and subhanallah, my boarding pass was number one and my wife number three. So we right behind the pilot, you know. So we sitting, everything, people are still coming. Yeah, the lady comes, the air hostess, and she came right by me. Master Hussein, I said, yes. Say, please, forgive me, please. So I thought maybe she thought this is Usama's brother or somebody. And we're right next to the pilot and something, you know, we must go to the back. Hey, no problem, we'll go. Say, no, 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 you have to take out your hand luggage, everything. First time in my life. We have to go out, passengers are coming in. And all the time she's telling me, forgive me, forgive me. I couldn't understand. So it's embarrassing also. So anyway, we came down on the tarmac. And then I'm walking away from her. She's coming near me and touching me. Forgive me, forgive me. I said, but what happened? She said, Mr. Hussein, you're sitting in the wrong plane. It's my fault. It's my fault. Please forgive me. For she thought I'm going to take it to the higher authorities. And I said, no, don't worry. It's a mistake. No. Lucky we didn't take off. I'm in this plane. My luggage is in another plane. So imagine, in the 21st century, all mixed up like this. So I can tell you a lot of things, but no time for all that now. So Alhamdulillah, after 3-4 hours, then we left. Obviously, our connecting flight now, from there we had to go to another place, was we missed it. So anyway, so I went to that lady and told her, I said, see my ticket, now it is your fault, and now please write a letter, because these people I know, English and all that, they very, you know, they don't understand what we're saying, and they speak, we don't understand. So tell them what happened, and then they must sort out everything for me. He said, no problem. So she wrote something, gave me the letter. We arrived there in Bogota, Colombia. Now when we read of Colombia, Colombia is known as the drug capital of the world, actually, South America, you know. But lo and behold, brothers, they say this plus minus 47 million people, Muslims, Allah alone know how many they are. Bogota is the capital. From there, I had to take a flight to Medellin. It's double N L there. We say Medellin, but when they pronounce it, they say Medellin. They say the double L becomes J. You know, that is all their Tajweed business. So anyway, I say Medellin, they say Medellin. I say, all right, Medellin, but take me, I have to go there. So anyway, I presented that letter and everything, they said, fine. So we went. We got that after 1-2 hours, connecting flight. There, when we landed, subhanallah, there was one brother. He helped me at the airport also, there at Bogota, because when we were going with the bus to the plane, I forgot my jersey. You know, all mixed up, you know. So he came to me, he said, sir, this is yours. He could speak English. I said, yes, yes, and I thanked him. When we landed there at Medellin, so again he came to me, he said, you need something now. Not Muslim anything, but he had a beard. And I asked him his name, everything. So I said, yeah, this hotel people told me that the shuttle will be here, but I think now because we came late. And so don't problem, just give me the phone, the address, everything, and I'll phone them. We don't have roaming and all that, you know. So he phoned, mashallah. So they said, yes, fine, their shuttle will come. Now we waiting for them to come, he's waiting for his bus to come, because, you know, there we go. After 10 minutes, he comes to me, he says, hotel phone again, on his phone, obviously. And they said, no, no shuttle, nothing, I must jump in the taxi, and they will pay the taxi. See? Allah Ta'ala put farishtas everywhere, you understand? So I hugged him, thanked him, I said, you know what, brother, this is the quality of these people. They are such good people. They go out of their way, humble people. They see us like this. The amount of respect they give us. The only thing missing, no Iman, no Islam. So who is their brother to give them that? This is the da'wat we have to do. We have to go to these places. It's virgin territory. If you just speak to them, I'll tell you incidents just now. When we landed there, then they took us to the hotel, everything. One brother, Pakistani, there's very few Pakistanis, but the brother Azerbaijan, he was waiting for us. He's married to a Colombian. MashaAllah, very active in Dawat and Tabligh and so forth. So he made us comfortable, everything. Then I told him, program kya hai? So he said, no, we must go to Musalla. There's no masjid or anything there in Medellin or Medellin, whatever you call. So we went. So mashallah, they had two South African imams. They were Hafiz performing Taraweeh and so forth. No, sorry, they were from Panama, not from South Africa. They were from Panama and they were performing the Taraweeh Salat and everything. So after that, I delivered the talk in English and Azerbaijan translated in Spanish and so forth. One brother just came and he heard the talk. He said, make me Muslim. So there in the masjid, mashallah, we may have any Muslim and so forth. So my message to you consistently will be this, that the people are not thirsty for money or hungry for money or food or thirsty for water or juice. If they are hungry and thirsty, is for Muslims to go and teach them and give them the true Islam. Not diluted and polluted Islam, the true Islam. Then the next day was Jumu'ah, so I told them, fine, what's the program? They said, I must give a talk. Now, wherever you give talk there, you need a translator, somebody to speak. You know. So, mashallah, that Azerbaijan again, so he translated. That area there, no masjid, no imam, no sheikh, nothing. They got one Lebanese brother, Ahmed. Elderly person, so I believe he comes every Friday. So he started the khutbah, Jummah khutbah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, does that. Thereafter, 45 minutes, he spoke in Spanish. What we understand. So thereafter, he read Salat and all this. So I went to him, I told him, Shaykh, khairul kalam aqalla wa dalla, you know, 45 minutes, you take longer than the Imam of the Haram also. You know? Say, no, these people here is Ramadan, there's no eating, drinking, therefore I took so long. You know? Everybody got their reasoning, you know. Thereafter, now listen. See the South African connection. Allah chooses who He wants to, brother. Believe you me. Tonight is big night, is Laylatul Jumu'ah. Allah se mangna hai, manwana hai. Beg Allah, ya Allah, use me for your deen. I don't want to take names. The 4 or 5 families, Allah has put in their heart, South Africans, that we must do from South Africa something in South America. So they haven't been to this place. I was the first person like from them. One doctor went there before me. But anyway, so I went there. That Azhar bhai told me, you know what, makan bhi tayyar hai, humne saaf bhi kar liya, sab kuch, we cleaned everything up. Now we must start the madrasa. I said, 100%. You tell everybody and we'll start. So Asr Salat we read there. They got the big house there, mashallah. And then we gave a short talk. And then between Asr and Maghrib, we made dua, cried to Allah. Ya Allah, we have this madrasa starting. Make it a markazun noor. Let the noor spread from here, Ya Allah. How many people are so interested in Islam? But they just need a teacher. Inshallah, one Maulana will be going from Argentina there now, any 1-2 weeks time. And then we'll have the imam, we'll have the madrasa, officially everything. So imagine South Africans paying for the rental, paying the ustad, paying all the expenses. And remember what happens, so that students can come and study, so that somebody can become hafiz, somebody can become alim, and so forth. What a great investment it is. You think about it. So thereafter, we left Medellin and we came there to Bogota. Who picks me up in Bogota? The Consul General, the Honorary Consul General of Pakistan. I don't know him. He doesn't know me. So he says, I told the brothers, no. This person, I'll pick him up. So we started speaking. I asked him, so he said, Mera naam Muhammad Nawaz hai. Main yaha par Pakistani hukumat ki taraf se hu. He had a big nice Mercedes and all that. You know. So I asked him, what you doing? He said, no, I stay in Medellin, but one big Pakistan army officer general came. So I had to come and welcome him. He's a government guest and so forth. Then I was waiting for you to come. So mashallah, he arranged everything, the hotels and what have you. And the route to the hotel, I started asking him. I said that, now why are you so involved? He said, you know what? See, brothers. He said, the way you South Africans operate, I really like it. I stayed in the States for 20 years. I stayed in the UK for many years. Now I'm here. He represents the government, many forums and so forth. He says, I saw how you all run madrasas. I saw how your ulama conduct their talks. I saw how your tabligh jamaat operates. We want the same thing here in Bogota as well. Who is telling us this? The Consul General of Pakistan. I'm giving you his name also. So imagine. When Allah puts that fikr in your heart, in your mind, subhanallah, Allah uses anybody he wants to. So we went to the big masjid there, mashallah, built by the Arab governments and so forth. Beautiful masjid. There they read 8 rakats tarawih. I don't want to get into all discussion, but I'm just giving you what happened. After that, the imam looked at me and said, come, you give your talk. So there, sometime you have to give talks in Arabic, sometime Urdu, sometime English. So they were Arab brothers, so we spoke in Arabic. And alhamdulillah, they were very happy. Brother came from South Africa and so forth and all. The next day was I was still there for 2 nights, so I went to another masjid. There the imam is from Tunisia. So when I entered there, so 2 things happened. One is, I just saw one young brother, 16 years old, and his name Ahmed. I said, Salaam alaikum. He said, Wa alaikum salam. He started speaking, he's speaking very good, fluent English. And you don't find many people speaking very fluent English. I asked him, Ahmed, where you learn English? So he smiled. He said, come, we talk. He said, my name is Ahmed. My father not Muslim. Mother not Muslim. Brother not Muslim. I'm listening to his story. So I asked him, then how you became Muslim? So he said that one day, before this, he said, I became a Hindu. Just to study Hinduism. Then I didn't like this idol story, and you know, I left it. Then I became a Jew. You know, he also trying, testing everything. Then I said, no, man, these people also, they feel they selected and they super class. I left it. Islam, alhamdulillah. I said, but how it started? Say, one day I was walking and I saw these people with big turbans and pagris and all. I said, now who's these people? So I went to them, everything, I spoke, and then I said, this is what I'm looking for. He's only 16 years old, but he's been through all this in his life. I said, Ahmed, I'll open the Quran Sharif. I said, read for me. Subhanallah, he read fluently, Quran. I said, how much you know by heart? He said, whole Jews Amma. Imagine. He said, now I'm studying Arabic, I'm going to learn Arabic. I said, you're a special brother. When I give the talk, I want you to translate. I'll speak to the imam. He go to. I asked him, fasting. He said, my mother, she's a good person. She wakes up 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:30, and she arranges my suhoor, everything. You could see 1-2 tears coming out also. Then I told him, see, Ahmed, we in Ramadan, you have to realize this. It's your life. I'll make dua, but your dua is more powerful. Why? Look at Sayyidina Abu Huraira, it's mentioned in Sahih Muslim. One day Sayyidina Abu Huraira, the greatest Shaykh al-Hadith, came to Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, crying, weeping. Ma yubkika ya Abu Huraira, why are you crying? Ya Rasulullah, my mother, she's swearing, abusing you, vulgarities, obscenities. It breaks my heart. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua for my mother. The Master alayhi salatu salam started making dua. He Abu Huraira went home. And when he reached home, he wanted to go in. His mother told him, Allah rislik, you wait there outside. She was taking a bath, she dressed up everything, she opened the door. Ashadu Allah ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammad abdu Rasulu. So I'm relating the story to him. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu comes running back to the Master alayhi salam crying. Ma yubkika ya Abu Huraira? Now what? Why are you crying? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first time was because of sadness and grief. Now it is of happiness and joy. Moka ishanasi. You must know when to say what. He knows the Master alayhi salam is so happy and elated. Ya Rasulullah, make dua. When the name of Abu Huraira is taken, then it must, the person, the Muslim, must have special affinity with me. Ask any person, any student studying, teaching hadith. When we read, an Abi Huraira radiallahu ta'ala nuqal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we feel a special affinity to Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So I explain all that. We're still in contact, alhamdulillah. See one brother, how Allah is using him. Christian background. And obviously they have challenges and so forth. So mashallah, that was Colombia. Then we had to take a flight via Panama, and then we landed up in Argentina. Argentina is the third time I went now. Colombia was the first time. In Buenos Aires, there's a place. You know how you got Overport, and you got Shell Cross, and you got Westworld and whatever else. So there they got one place, Once. Once is like the headquarters of the Jews. Our brothers from South Africa, they have put up a musalla there. That is the Tabligh Jamaat's Merkaz. That is the headquarters for the Hifz class. That is the madrasa. Everything happens there. Now they have purchased land. It's paid for already. Inshallah, inshallah, they're going to put up a masjid, madrasa, everything, 8 stories, right in the heartland of Buenos Aires. What do you say about that? See the investment. This is what they're doing. Allah is choosing. Right in South America. Many years ago, I met him this time. The Argentinian government told one of their police, intelligence, all these people coming here, you must follow them. So he started following them. When he started giving a report to them, every time he speaks positive, the police ask him, intelligence, you working for them or you working for us? So he said, let me go learn Arabic. Because as Arabs come, they read Riyadu Salihin and us and all. He went to some Egyptian there, he learned Arabic, everything. Lo and behold, he became Muslim. He started intelligence spying on Muslim. Today, I met him now in this trip, Usman. I hugged him and I told him, Usman, your story, I mentioned it so many places. He was so happy. See, Allah gives hidayah. So from there, we went to Mendoza. Mendoza is like Johannesburg, Cape Town. Right next to Chile, the Andes Mountains. When we went there, there's one youngster from Newcastle, he qualified there, Moana Fasih. MashaAllah, energetic. You know, he played football with the youngsters and all this kind of thing. You can see also, he's just moving all the time. So he came to meet us, everything. Then I asked him, now what's our program? He said, no, we must go meet the one sheikh. So I said, yeah, I want to go read Salat there. We went Zohar time to the masjid in Mendoza. I went to go look at the history of it. In 1926, that masjid was built by our Egyptian brothers. Now understand this, brothers. 1926, we in 2017. We're speaking of 90 years ago, plus minus. Brothers, understand, the Arabs moved from Egypt, Morocco, Syria, Palestine, here, there, everywhere. Not in their thousands, in their millions they went to South America. You see, today when they speak about Muslims or they speak about foreigners, they tell you two words, they underscore it, they underline it. They say you must assimilate, you must integrate. So they really integrated and assimilated so much that they got married to the locals, they stayed with them, they forgot the whole deen, they forgot the Arabic language, they forgot Alif Ba Ta Sa. Majority of them left Islam. So many places you go, and they see us like this, he'll take me one side, Sheikh, I want to ask you something in Arabic or English. He'll say, I'm married. You know, if you can't speak English properly. Me, Muslim. I'm married. Jumma Masjid. Sunday church. Say, brother, for what you? Say, no, you see, wife, Christian. I don't want fight. So you say, I go there. Now there we're not going to give big fatwas. We want to bring them to Islam. So I ask him, okay, you Muslim, your wife Christian, your children? He said, no, children madrasa. I said, alhamdulillah, at least then. Then we start explaining to them, you know, bring your wife. We will explain to her about Islam or something. Maybe she embraced Islam and so forth. So these are the challenges. Remember, things are changing, but not rapidly. We have to go more and more to know effort is required, qurban is required. So we landed up there in Mendoza. So these people, they put up the masjid. For that, we need to give them credit. From there, mashallah, we went now to the Andes. Lo and behold, it's about 2 hours away. We went to one park also. They said it's the biggest park in South America, the lake. Suddenly, I see a board, Las Vegas. And Maulana is there and Qasim. Qasim is an Argentinian brother. And mashallah, he's also married now. And it's, his wife is the only lady who's a Muslim, you know. So anyway, cut long story short, I see a boat showing Las Vegas. I say, wait. I say, Qasim, are we in Argentina or are we in America? What's going on? He said, no, this is Argentina. I say, what is Las Vegas here? He said, no, it's a small place. I say, drive in there, I want to see what's happening. He said, no, here there's Sufis here. I said, no, then we must go. I said, who's these Sufis? He said, the Naqshbandis. I said, very good, we want to meet them. So we went, first house, nobody. Second house, nobody. Third house, mashallah, brother came out. Nice big green hat and they got all their uniform and everything. We met him, he speaks a little bit English. So we didn't know. Just meet him, everything spoke. So I asked him, you know, we want to read Asr Salat. You got masjid? He said, yeah, we got our masjid, everything. I said, come, we go masjid. Small masjid, about 20 people can fit in, made of wood. They built it themselves. They put one small gumbat, one dome there. When I looked at the back, I see one grave there. So he could see that I'm looking at this grave. So he said, no, this, there's nobody buried here. We just put the grave there. I say, why? He say, all the barakat, it come through here. So, now is the mass time. So me, I'm very reluctant now. So I tell him, you know what? Best thing, we read Salat. Because he's telling me, no, time is not in. And that. I say, no, time is in. We'll read Salat. We musafir. It's all right for us. You understood? Shafi time and it was in. No problem. So he said, no, I must make imamah. That is very good. So I made imamah, then he read Salat with us, everything. Then he had a duff. Stood. I saw the duff. I said, you make zikr with this? He said, yes. Then I said, show me. So he started hitting the duff. Proper duff, not the mix-up business. The proper duff, he started. Then if you there, then you also will go like this with them. Stood. Yeah, remember this guy. So alhamdulillah, we met them, good people, mashallah, but Allah give everybody hidayat. So anyway, from there, then we came back. They announced that I'm going to give a talk. So mashallah, then musalla again, run by South Africans. So the masjid, then musalla packed. So I asked, who's translating? They say, Sheikh is here from Argentina. He went to Medina, he graduated there, Sheikh Usman. So I must give in Arabic and he'll translate in Spanish. I say, very good. So he was so happy. He said, first time I'm hearing non-Arab speaking Arabic here in Argentina and so forth. So mashallah, we gave talk and all that. And they were so happy. From there to the Friday morning, and we came back now to Buenos Aires. So we left for Quilmes. They came to pick us up. See, brothers. Quilmes, small Darulum. It's about half an hour, 45 minutes from Buenos Aires. Maulana Randeri from Newcastle, Maulana Sindhi from Newcastle, from Dundee. And all the youngsters, we know them, we know their parents and all. So subhanallah, they're running a Darul Uloom. Students came from Paraguay, students come from Venezuela, make my son a Hafiz, make my son a Alim, all this. All done by South Africans. What joy that brings you. Imagine. Right in that part. Argentina is like South Africa, 50 million people. Their currency is also like ours plus minus. One US dollar, 15 peso. Like ours is 13 and a half, and so it's just around there also. The women are so friendly there, therefore you brothers, you can't go alone there. It's very dangerous. You go and buy things there to tell you, thank you, the woman, she'll just come give you a peck here and say, gracias and all that. So whenever we have to buy, I put my wife in front, I stand there outside. We're not, they come here by us also, you know. So you must, to over-friendly, for them it don't mean, they'll consider it abnormal if they don't kiss. That is halat like that. Absolutely. So anyway, brothers, that is, from there we landed up in Mada Plata the next day. Mada Plata is like your Durban. Mada Plata is so beautiful. December time, you can't go there because 3/4 of the people are walking around without clothes. So we go December, we go June, July time, you know, everybody got clothes on, mashallah. And it's cold because the wind blows there, mashallah. Our South Africans, the same 4 or 5 families, they put up a masjid in Mada Plata. See Allah, what Allah does. The Argentinian government, for visitors, foreigners who come, on their website, they say when you go to Mada Plata, you must go and visit the mezquita. You must go visit the masjid. Amen. Non-Muslims inviting people to come to the masjid. So they put up a beautiful masjid and from down, 3 stories high, everything. So mashallah, our youngsters were there performing Taraweeh. The Jamaat there also I met from France. Last year when I went, and the other Jamaat, how many days you staying here? 10 days. I say, why? They don't want to say. I said, no, I know why. Because there's underground heating here. You understood? So it's very nice here. Other masjid, no underground heating, nothing. So the other park here is nice. You understood? So beautiful masjid, mashallah. There's one brother there, Jamal. He's from France. He's staying there. He's my big friend. 3 years ago when I met him, I spoke to him, Jamal. I said, Jamal, you married? Then he looked down. He said, yeah, you know, my wife, her name is Jamila. I said, Muslim. He said, half Muslim. That's half Muslim story. I said, okay. We mustn't debate that. I said, Jamal, it's Ramadan, me and you, we make dua. He said, what dua are we going to make? I said, we make dua, Allah make a full Muslim. You understood? He said, yeah, that's good dua. So I asked him this time, how's Jamila? He said, Jamila is all right. I said, half a full. He said, no, full Muslim. He said, alhamdulillah. So it's all like this mix-up business going on. You understood? But Allah is giving hidayah to whoever he wants, alhamdulillah. Then again, we landed up there in Buenos Aires. We went back by plane. Then from there, we went to Brazil. Now this is a long trip. Santana. By bus, we went. 12 hours it took us. You understood? My wife was finished, you know. And it was a marathon journey. 8:20 we left at night, 8:20 we arrived there. On the way they stopped and all the same things. And then the border and all. But anyway, it was 12 hours and so forth. Santana, I need to tell you a story, brothers. How much qadr are you making of this masjid, of the ulama, of the huffaz, of all the masajid ulama we have? You come to where I live. I was telling them, they don't believe. They find it very difficult. I say, if you come to where I am in Lens, we have 50 masajid, not musalla and all that. Masajid, 50. We have 1,000 ulama, if you count Dalum Zakariya and everybody and all. And Hufaz, imagine. One place. The whole South America doesn't have that. So brothers, see, we have to make qadr of what we have. 2 years ago story I'm giving you, I arrived there Asr time, and all Palestinians, the Maulana was South African that time, now he's not there. So I asked him, who's this? He said, 150 Palestinian families. It's Ramadan. So I met them, spoke to them, Arabic. I've been to Palestine, I love Palestine, everything. They were so happy that you know about Palestine more than us. Maghrib to Isha obviously is eating and all that. Then after Isha, the Imam stood up. So he said, today we're not making 8 rakats Taraweeh, we're making 4 rakats Taraweeh. Why are we making 4 rakats Taraweeh? Because one big sheikh came. You see, he looked at my size, you know.
Say one big sheikh came here in Junubi Africa all day, so we won't need 4 rakats. The second 4, he'll give the token all this. Abu Firas. So when I went this time, I said, where's Abu Firas? They said, there is it there. I went to meet him, I hugged him, everything. I said, Sheikh, you remember me? So he knew. I said, remember me, read 4 rakats Tarawih that time. So now this time they got Egyptian Sheikh, 8 rakats. But same business. The Quran Sharif is open and they read looking inside. They read beautiful, but no hafiz. Imagine here, yeah, how many hafiz, how many ulama you got. Your own children. How much shukr we have to make. They nothing. So after Tarawih, we gave talk, everything. From there, mashallah, you'll know Mufti Jina is there in Madina Munawwara. His 2 sons were there. So Mufti Zabar was there, but I didn't meet him. So they said, no, we must go to Quray. So we went to Quray, another place the next day. So Zohar time, just 6-7 Palestinians. So we gave them a talk, mashallah. Maulana Zain came to fetch us. Then we landed up in Uruguayana. I can't pronounce his name, so difficult for me, you know. Anyway, we went there, mashallah, there they had proper Quran, Tarawih, completed the Quran that night I was there. One South African imam and one Egyptian. Then I spoke about the completion of Quran and how important it is and so forth. So alhamdulillah, that was one place they had proper Tarawih and so forth. Then we came back to Buenos Aires, again another 11 hours, 10 and a half hours in a bus and so forth. From there, brothers, we landed up, then we left to Brasilia. From here in Marisburg, some of you all know the family, Abdul Ghani, Maulana Abdul Ghani is there. This Abdul Ghani, Maulana, is so sharp, he's got 40 SIM cards. All active. If he takes out his phone and show you, his WhatsApp messages, 3,560, I don't know what and what. So these people, last week I was there, Saturday, Sunday in Marisburg, so I went to meet his father. So I told him, Ajisab, in Mehman I told him, his leg is amputated from here. See, Qurbani. Father's leg amputated from here. So I put my hand here. He's covered. So I told him in Mehman, Haji sahab, Abdul Ghani ke paacho na bark ja. You don't call Abdul Ghani back here. Your leg is gone. You must make intention, Ya Allah, I'm making this Qurbani for your deen. Let him stay there. And he said, Jo South America ke chamkai ganna. Through his efforts and your qurbani, Allah will use him. What a great youngster he is. So we landed up there, and he's sharp, you know. So he picked me up, everything. He's so sharp, I'll tell you what he did. So he took us to the hotel, everything. I don't know, one day spoke there, Portuguese, this, that. All these places I went, hotel, we stay, everything. Bed and breakfast, nice Ramadan. No, we fasting, no problem. We will bring your food for your room, 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning, you give us what you want. Non-Muslim, so much riayat, so much they take our feelings into consideration. You don't drink, you don't take one sip of water, you don't eat one grain. I say, no, we fast. It's no problem. Liche caliente, were 2 words I learned everywhere. Liche caliente. We want hot milk, you understood? So this type of thing, for the tea and the cereal and all that. Abdul Ghani, I don't know what he went to tell them. We just gone to the room. 4:30, this guy pitches up. So, okay, thank you, gracious and all that. You know, we know all our gracious. What? He went away, my wife opened, 11 boiled eggs the man brought. 11 boiled eggs. So I asked Abdul Ghani to start deep for if you're in Mehman. I told him, your brains are mixed up or what? I have a soccer team, you know what? It's me and my wife. I only got one wife. So he just kept quiet. So then I went down. So I told that person, me, my wife, you brought like this, you know, 11 eggs. What's wrong? So all this. See, non-Muslim, they want to make ikram. So he said, hold 11 eggs in this type of thing. Then we went to Sambambaya. Understood? So, I was telling Abdul Ghani's father, I put his mother also there. I said, Masi, I know you're missing your grandchildren, all that. They'll come after 2-3 years, don't worry. But don't ever call back. That is what we want. We want you, the young ulama. You go with your wife, you go with your children. Make the intention of hijrat. Allah ke deen ko phailana hai. Allah ko khush karna hai. One person bring iman. One son become hafiz. One person become alim. Look at South Africa. We are over demand. Therefore, there's so many problems here. We need to go out. People are waiting for ulama. People are waiting for hufaz. So you must remember this. The world is waiting, brothers. And you know Arabic and you know Urdu, English. These are the three main languages you must know. And you don't worry, you just speak. You must. These Palestinians, I speak Arabic, they come and kiss me on my forehead and all this kind. In that Arabic bayan, there must be over 20 mistakes. But they don't even know what are the mistakes. You don't understand? So it's like that. So brothers, you must never fear. It's the deen of Allah. Allah will spread it. You must remember. So anyway, then he took me, he said he made arrangements there in Sambambaya. This is in Brussels, yeah, the capital. And he said that you must make Jummah there. Hey, very good. We went there, I see all Pakistani brothers there. So I said, main Urdu mein bolo. He said, bilkul ab Urdu mein bolo. Then Imam sahab so got so happy, he said, Mufti sahab, itwar ko Eid, they know everything before time. You know, they know Sunday is Eid and everything. Because they follow Saudi and that. So they said, itwar ko Eid hai. So meri khayal se, Eid namaz bhi aap hi yaha. I said, khushi se, we'll come here for it. First time in the history they had Eid namaz there. So anyway, that was Friday. Then they got another masjid, Masjid al-Walidain. This brother Umar from Palestine. His parents passed away, but mashallah, he's got money and means. And he built a masjid and dedicated it to his parents. He said, Masjid al-Walidain. Everybody reads Salat here, my thawab must go to my parents. See? Subhanallah, you get people like that. Then Saturday came. This Pakistani brother say, Mufti sahab, aapko daawat hai and all that, because no Tarawih now, Saturday night, Sunday is Eid there. So he say, where? Pakistani embassy. If you go see that Pakistani embassy, I think it's better than a South African embassy. What a smart embassy and all this kind of thing. You think Pakistan is first world country, you know? So this type of thing. MashaAllah, everybody there, everything. Then they say, give talk. So Alhamdulillah, again, we gave 5-10 minute talk, because a lot of brothers there, you know, they want to eat and all. Then Eid, mashallah, they got the masjid in Brasilia built by the Saudis. The imam is there. The next day I went, Monday, I said, let me go again there. Three people in the masjid. So there's three main masjids. From there we came then to Sao Paulo. There Mohana Imran Haji is there, mashallah. So see, brothers, all these ulama who are there are by the 4 or 5 families. They place them here, place them. Sao Paulo, 20 million people, is the biggest city in the whole southern hemisphere. Brazil, 220 million people, Muslim 100,000, and masajid, they say about 100 masajid plus minus. Sao Paulo has got 12 masajid and 7 musalla and so forth. So Alhamdulillah, we went and met some of the brothers and so forth. So they're doing great, great work there. Let me just take you to the other countries quickly. Uruguay. When I went to Uruguay, I cried. And brothers, you will cry. Uruguay has got a population of 4 million. Muslims plus minus 1,000. Not a single masjid, not a single hafiz, not a single alim, not a single madrasa. Imagine the whole country till today doesn't have a masjid. Yeah, in this majma, what you got so much uplang, my brothers. You know how much you got, you don't have to tell me. You don't have to give me anything. I just want to conscientize. You go, these South American countries are excellent. You don't need no papers, no nothing. You just put South African passport there, stamp it. 3 months visa they give you. And you go for extension, they give you another 3 months and 6 months. It's like that. South America is very good for us. You go there, we're not telling you to do anything illegal. We will just give you the context. Contact this person, this person. How many of us can put up a masjid? It's your greatest investment. First time I went to Uruguay, 10 o'clock, Abbasinis Abdul Ghani, he arranged it. Altaf Bhai. I'm speaking to him, Altaf, and I'm so sad, you know. I say, Altaf Bhai, Tarabi aapne kaha ada ki? He's from India. He say, bhai, hum to itne mashhool hai, Tarabi ke liye fursat hi nahi milte. He say, we don't know time and all that, what you talking of Tarabi? I say, arre jane do. Where you read Jumma namaz? You see, they got one Egyptian embassy there. There is one small room. They open it Friday, we read them. When I came back, I called these families. I said, see, we must do something in Uruguay. That please, this is working on me and we must start. Subhanallah, they went. They got the place. Our Maulana is there. Your Maulana Basa is there, mashallah. So, I went there last year. Now, what happened last year? I'm sitting like this after Asr.
There is a thing there. So they translate and all that. Suddenly I see that side there two police, you know, all whites. So I'm wondering there. So I ask Morana, some khairiyat, is not following me or something. There I don't make all political statements, and it's all simple talks there, you know. So he said, no, they come every day, you don't worry. Understood. So I said, why they come? They said, no, one husband, he assaulted his wife very badly. So when she comes, then the police say, no, police protection, so he can't hit her and assault her and all that. You know, they gave all the laws and all. So I said, must be very important to two police who are following this lady everywhere, you know. Now we read Tarawih. So these youngsters, they stand at the back, you know. So they saw that police, they told that one police, just come and read you also with us. He's not Muslim, first of all. So he came. You understood? He did. So he tell me after this youngster. He say, Mufti Sahab, you know how he read Tarawih Salat? I say, how he read? He say, he read like this. I hope you Ansar listeners can listen. That he said he started his Salat, he put his hand here, like the Shafi. Then he put his hand here below the navel. Then he put his hand here on the side. And after Salam, he just ran away. I say, bhai, you never understood what he did. You say, what he did? I say, when he started, he was a Shafi. Then halfway, he became Hanafi. Three-quarter way, he became Maliki. Salam, he became Salafi. So that is what he did. See, like the Sahirin. They came there to take Nabi Musa alayhi salam on, and they wore long robes. They said, let's make a fool. Allah gave them hidayat. He just came. I asked them to this time. I said, who was the police? Say, you won't believe what happened to that police. Our youngsters gave him translation, Quran, he read. He said, make me Muslim now and now. Allah. He came to the masjid to look after that lady, that nobody must take advantage of her. He read the two rakats upside down. What do you know? Nothing, not Muslim of it. And now he's Muslim, mashallah. See, brother. So this is Allah. Now look at the other side. If you go to Uruguay, Montevideo, I went. I'm not telling you stories, I'm telling you what I saw. There were three masjids there in Montevideo in 1950s. We went to one masjid, it's changed, transformed into a church. When we went there, they all reluctant. I said, no, it's Sunday. Me, I'm going inside. So when I walked inside, then they followed me, our brothers. That priest saw me, so he was giving some sermon. So he also got along like kurta, if you want to call it kurta, whatever. And I had, so he came down, I shook hands, I said, pastor or father, at least our clothes are very similar, you know, so... So I told our youngsters there, just check which way is Qibla. See, brothers, till today you can see some signs, the minaret or the gumbat or something. Our masjid became church because the Muslims don't come to the masjid. No dawat, no tabligh, no ulama, no hafiz, nothing. Allah's deen is very independent. It doesn't need me, you, anybody. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْ يَسْتَبْدِ الْقَوْمَ غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُ أَمْسَالَكُمْ. That is Deenul Islam. You are born as Muslims. You who embrace Islam. If you don't do effort for this deen, Allah will take it away and give it to other people. And Wallahi al-Azim is happening now. Allah is giving it to people who never dreamt they'll become Muslim. And when they become Muslim, I told you about Ahmed in Colombia. Show me a youngster today, just embrace Islam and he's so much shook. And he's learning to become Hafiz, learning this, learning Arabic language. They won't be like you. They'll be devoted, dedicated. We went to the other masjid. You can still see all the Arabic calligraphy. They changed it into a museum. Now they call it some museum. I saw my own eyes. And you cry. Then another one, we went masjid. All blocks of offices. So I'm asking you, South African, how come you can't go now to Uruguay and put up your masjid? Yesterday, Abdul Ghani sent me a message. Say, Mufti Sahab, tre jana aviya, three people came, and they're giving, they'll put up the masjid. I'm telling you, we don't need 10, 20 people. You, one family from Durban, from this place here, can go and put up the masjid. Cry to Allah, today is Shabbat Jummah, Ya Allah, use me for your deed. We can't do it, we can do it. How many masajid we got here? One masjid, 10, 20 million. We don't need big fancy structures there.
Simple structure will do. So think about it, brothers. Paraguay. When I went to Paraguay, this is now last year. So all brothers from Bangladesh are there. So I gave a talk, everything. I asked them, ye masjid kisne banaya? That Bangladesh brother, he could speak English. He said, humne banaya, we made it. I said, alhamdulillah. After Fajr, they go out. Subhanallah, they all got flea market. They say, in that morning time, we make so much money. So I said, ye to hadith hai, Allahumma barik lana fi, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriya. The Rawi of the hadith says, I go and take out my merchandise and sell it, and he became Zathalwa, he became so rich overnight in a short period of time. So subhanallah, they never went here and there. The Bangladesh brothers got together, they put up their masjid. After I gave the talk, they got one Maulana Imam, they, he stood up. He said, may ye Mufti sahab se bahut naraz hu. I looked down, I said, what, maybe I said something wrong and all that. So I asked him, some khairiyat here? He said, no, I'm very upset with this person here with me. So I asked him, but why? He said, how can you come here and you give us one night? You must stay whole week here. So he was upset, I spent very little time there. See, they're hungry for deen, brothers. So all these places. I landed up in Lima, Peru. You know, it was, I had one day, I said, let me go. This was not now, last year. Subhanallah, I went there, I met one Pakistani Maulana. I said, chalo masjid. He said, kisne aapko kaha ya masjid? No masjid. So I said, phir namaz? He said, nee, wo Islamic center hai. I said, nee, chalo, hum chalte wa. So we met Egyptian imam, everything. He doesn't have maybe $100 in his pocket, this Pakistani Maulana, you know. But he said, maine niyat kar li. So I said, kis cheez ke liye aapne niyat? He said, main masjid bana dunga. He's telling me. When I came back, he sent me a message. He said, the government said, fine, I can take this land and build a masjid. See, brother. So everywhere, they need masjid, they need madrasa, they need ulama, they need people to teach. And we are in our comfort zone. What you think is right, we're doing justice to the ummah. Wherever I gave talk, brother, I'm ending now. So you must remember, I used to end with this verse, فَأَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءَ. You got the ocean here, mashallah, Durban. You know how beautiful Durban is. So all the Transvaalers and Gautengers and whatever else you want to call them up. Now in Durban, you know, winter in Durban is the best place to be. When we're landing today, the pilot said 22 degrees. I'm looking at my wife and said, Durban, bo saroa, you know, it's very good Durban, you know. So anyway, brothers, you are here in Durban. You all know all about fishing and swimming. You look at the bubble. You look at the foam. That is on top. But it stays on top for a short period, and then it goes away. Apartheid stayed on top, and then dismantled. Anything that is batil, on falsehood, it will remain on top, and then dismantled, thrown away. Me and you, what are we? وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. This water is the essence of life. That will remain. So take the water of Islam, my brother, and go and share it with people. People are thirsty. They're begging us. Why don't your ulama come? Why don't your jamaats come? Why don't you come? Why don't your women come to teach our women and so forth? Subhanallah, how many Colombian women embrace Islam? How many of those other countries the women embrace Islam? One thing they realize, that if the person is a true Muslim, there'll be no wine, there'll be no swine. See, just that. They don't want, that is the fitrat of human being. They don't want intoxicants. They don't want swine. They realize that life they had was a sordid life. It's just an artificial facade. So Islam is a natural way, brothers. So think about this. So may Almighty Allah Jalla Wala accept us here in South Africa, that we take this whole deen of Islam to all the countries, all the continents, and not for our matlab. That for the pleasure of Almighty Allah. So we have to make the sacrifice. Like how these families are doing. They tell me, please, you know we're on the radio, you speak here, never take our names. See, how much work Allah is taking. They don't want, we must mention their name, nothing. You see, we do fine. Believe you me, it goes into millions and millions. But Allah is choosing them. So brothers, my message to you is very simple. We have the best. Is it not time we share it with the rest? In South Africa, how much work we are doing? People ask me when I travel. So I always tell them,
I say, At-taqsiru minna. We are the ones, we are the guilty party. We didn't take Islam to the indigenous people. We didn't take Islam to others. And therefore we have so many problems. You must remember, brothers, this dawah, tabligh, ulama, everybody got a role to play. So let us, inshallah, this life is short, brothers. Let us take this deen of Islam, and inshallah, through our efforts, humble, broken efforts, somebody becomes a Muslim, somebody becomes Hafiz, somebody becomes Alim. That will be your greatest joy. Jazakallah khair to all of you. You can see I'm not 100%, but we're speaking 1 hour now is enough for you also. You're also tired. We thank our Mawlana Naeem and his sons and all of you, and all of you, the trustees and whoever else. And inshallah, tomorrow we'll be at the Avondale Musalla, and then Ulama program. And then Saturday, inshallah, is the Hajj seminar. So that's why we have come here, inshallah. So make dua. Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, accept all these efforts. And Allah Ta'ala, one, two announcements quickly I want to make. See, brothers, I don't want to get involved in politics now, but this much I want to tell you, that the Haramain Sharifain, Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, you must remember, there are grave problems from the enemy side. They have their eyes fixed. I told you this before also. The Shias are waiting that they can gap in and they want to take control. And if you study the Khomeini's works and all that, you will know what I'm speaking about. So minimum, once a day, twice a day, at least raise your hands. Allah mahfaz bilad al haramain al sharifain min kulli suin wa makruh. Ya Allah, protect the haramain sharifain. We as Muslims, we must have some feeling. Second, Masjid al Aqsa. You saw the club? I don't know if I told you, maybe let me just tell you quickly. I'll send it inshallah to Mawlana Naeem. You can just ask Mawlana Naeem, he'll give it to all of you. Angela Merkel of Germany, she addressed her compatriots, her German people, and said, I was there when that person gave it to me. So he told me that, see what she said, that she's telling the people in Germany, you will have to adjust to the new situation. A time will come in Germany where more masajid will be built than churches. And you will have to adjust to that reality. From the top it's coming. I went to Zurich, I went to Switzerland. There they said, we don't want no minaret, no political Islam. The person was Daniel, whatever. 6 months later, Daniel called a press conference. He says, my name is Abdullah and I'm Muslim. I'm there. I said, take me to Abdullah, I want to interview him. He said, nobody can go. He's under house detention, house arrest. We can't meet him. Two. I went now to Maritzburg this weekend. I spoke about this a little bit. I said, who in this crowd knows German language? So they didn't speak. One person came up and said, my neighbor is a German and is born in Germany and is Muslim. I said, very good. I said, see, I'm sending you this clip. And tell him I want it translated in proper English from German. We don't know German enough. You see, brothers, they try and hide and just camouflage everything. There was a Pope, not this guy. The one before him, Pope Benedict. Pope Benedict, first time in the history of the Vatican for the past 600 years and more, I got the article there. So he resigned. Why he resigned? The official story, they told the world that there were too many priests involved, you understand, in pedophilia. You see, when I speak, you know, on the air, I know these people, they listen to me, some Jutlas and some Christians and all of them, because sometimes they attack and all that. We used to it. So I said, sometimes the monks, they get busy with monkey business. You understood? We also know how to give something. You understand? So I say, these monks, they get busy with monkey business. You understood? And the nuns are all also, there's another story about them. Okay. So I said, that's the story they gave. But that's not the real story. We will give you the real story. Pope Benedict, he spoke in German. And he said that this Christianity we're following is not the Christianity of the scripture. It is man-made. For the Pope to say that, you see, this man is causing big trouble. Bye, you better go. Some people, this is not confirmed. So we must be very careful.
This is not confirmed. Some people say he haven't embraced Islam, but I don't say that because I haven't, it's not confirmed. But this much I got it on tape, and I'll send it tomorrow or so to Maulana. You can contact Maulana. See, brothers, the world is turning to Islam. But me and you are fast asleep. Hum to khabe ghaflat mein hai. So brothers, we are the ones, become active. When any Christians say, come by, leave all about your attack on Islam. Let's see what your Pope said. Modi is sitting there now in Israel. The unholy alliance between Israel. If I tell you today in Masjid al-Nur, in your Melanson, and what's your turn? Esheval. In London next to, not London, London there next to Greenside and next to Houghton, the Ahmadis have opened a new center there. Where are the ulama? Who is going to expose them? Go and see in Europe what the Ahmadis are doing. They have the biggest masjids. In Zurich, no masjid in Switzerland is allowed to have a minaret. But the Ahmadi masjid, Qadiani Kafirs, they are masjids, their center got a minaret. We drove past there, I told him, take me inside. He's so frightened, I said, you stay outside, I'm going inside. Then he came. I went inside, I asked him, I saw two Pakistanis, so I just make up a tourist, they don't know. I say, bhai, yahan humne suna ke wo pabandi hai ye minaret par, lekin aapki masjid mein to minaret hai. He started laughing. Then I saw Sir Zafrullah Khan snap there. He came for the opening in 1962 and all these things. So I said, aapke paas bahut achi kitabe hai. He said, nahi, nahi, ye kitabe jo hai, German zaban mein hai. So I said, nahi. I saw some Arabic books there. I said, ye mere khayal se aapki kaam ki nahi. He said, ye kaam ki nahi. I said, abhi le jata. I said, aap le jai. I went, I started reading it. I didn't know how to speak of all these things. So there, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, La'anahullah, says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Nabi, and I am also Nabi. Openly in their book is written. See. So who's there to expose all this? But they have very, very catchy slogans. Love for all, hatred for none. Now they write in Joburg, and they put Ahmadi Muslim Center. See, brothers, every day is a new fitna. So if we're not going to do for Deenul Islam, our children will go. We will lose our own people. So it is our interest that we do. Propagate the Deen of Islam. Allah will keep Islam within us, within our children also. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah.